Well, good morning again, church. It's so good to see you today. And just want to say a special thank you to Randy for just stepping up and leading us in our singing today. You know, God is glorified when we take steps into the risky life that He has called us to. And He is honored today in this place, in this house. A lot of things are going on today, but the one thing we want to make sure happens and the one thing we want to leave with is the idea that God is honored in this place and that He will be honored in our lives when we leave here. So whatever else we're thinking about, we can put that in our pocket. We can take out of the other one the glory and the honor of God, and we'll hold it up this morning in this place. And if this idea, the will of God, were a dense rainforest somewhere in the Amazon, and most of our lives we've kind of been walking around the edge of it, kind of peering in, going, you know, I wonder what's in there. Probably something good. Beginning today, for the next several weeks, we're going to get out our machetes, and we're going to battle our way in, praying to be in the will of God. And if ever there's been the loss of a zeal for the knowledge of God's will and for our lives to be in line with it, today we're just kind of raising the flag to say that's the banner we're after. That there in the density of all that ambiguity, there is something there for us, the clear and unpolluted will of God. And God desires to fill us with the knowledge of that will. On a lighter note, after you leave today in a few minutes, you might have a conversation about lunch with somebody. It's been known to happen after church. And sometimes it goes like this. Oh, where do you want to eat today? I don't care. Are you sure you don't care? Yeah, you know, wherever. That's good. Whatever. I don't know. Wherever. Really? Are you sure? Because you seem a little ambivalent. You calling me ambivalent? No, I'm just saying. All right. Well, then, how about McDonald's? I don't want to eat at McDonald's. Well, where do you want to eat? Why don't you just tell me where you want to eat? All right, okay. Stop asking. I would like to eat someplace safe. Safe? Well, where is that? Seems a little ambiguous. You calling me ambiguous? No, I'm not saying you're ambiguous. I'm just saying, where do you want to eat? And there it is. The apathetic, the ambiguous discussion about lunch that some of you might be having today. I don't know. When we say that God has a will, we are saying that God is neither ambivalent nor ambiguous about what He wants. In fact, that is the dominant way that I am thinking about the will of God, and I think it's how the word is used in Colossians. It is saying that God wants something. God has a will. There is something that pleases God, that would bring Him great joy. And that will is not ambiguous. And it's not like God just kind of is up there or wherever He is going, yeah, whatever. Whatever you want to do or whatever life you want to live, yeah, I don't care. But it's not like God is saying, well, I want you to live the austere life. What does that mean? Couldn't be more ambiguous than that. And so what we're saying today is that God has a will. That will is clear. And He wants to fill us with the knowledge of His will. And that's the heart of Paul's prayer. at the opening of this beautiful letter to a church that was alive many, many years ago, a church that lived and breathed and took out of their pockets the honor of God in Christ as they gathered together. His prayer is that the church would be filled with the fullness of the knowledge of the will of God the Spirit gives. And so when people are saying, well, why don't you just tell me what the will of God is? God, why don't you just tell me what you want? What we're saying is God has told us. And it turns out you can put your machete away because He's already cleared a path to the heart of the rainforest and He's inviting us in. And over the next several weeks, that really is kind of the question we're after. What is the will of God and can we stand fully assured in it? You know, one of my favorite pieces or revelations or discoveries in this study for myself has been this idea that here at the beginning of his letter, Paul says to the church, I am praying for you. And I'm praying that you'll be filled with the knowledge of God. And then at the end of the letter, we meet another guy, a guy named Epaphras. And maybe Epaphras was the guy who started the church. We're not for sure, but we know Paul didn't start this church. Paul just heard of this church, but Epaphras is one of them anyway. He's from the church. And we meet this guy, Epaphras, and he is this guy who, you know, he's a wrestler. I don't know what the wrestlers wore back in those days, but he is wearing the outfit of the wrestler. But he's not like the Greco-Roman wrestlers because he's wrestling in a different way. Paul says, Epaphras, who's one of you, he's wrestling in prayer for you. And it just is amazing. Do you see in this passage in Colossians 4:12 what he's praying for? He's saying, he's praying, wrestling, that the church may stand firm in all the will of God. Isn't that something? Here this letter opens up with Paul praying that the church would be filled with the knowledge of the will of God, and here it's ending with somebody's wrestling in prayer that the church would be standing firm in the will of God, mature and fully assured. And this is where this idea comes from, that God's will is clear, and He desires to fill us with a clear and unpolluted knowledge of His will. It's not that this full assurance of God's will, that we'd be fully assured. It's one of my favorite words. Fully assured. It's actually, it comes from two words that are compound words. Be fully assured. Or two, it's a compound word made up of two words, which makes sense. Unlike what I just said. And the two words that make up this word are the words full and fill. You put full and fill together and you get fully assured. So it's like if I had a cup and I said, hey, I need you to go make sure this cup is full of water. And then you go, and once you make sure it's full of water, I want you to fill it all the way to the top. That's how full that cup needs to be. It needs to be full and filled. And that's how much God wants to fill us with the knowledge of His will. Filled and fulfilled and full of. Fully assured. Clear and understanding. God has a will. He has a desire for our lives. He wants something. He's not ambiguous. He's not whatever. God has a will. And He wants us to be in it. And it's important that we have this clarity. Because here's the stumble down the mountain. If clarity is here at the top, there's something that happens when we begin to doubt. A lack of clarity leads to doubt. And doubt leads to pollution. And pollution leads to toxic fruit. That's the stumble down the mountain. It's a pattern that's happened time and time and time and time again. God's people not sure just a little bit of doubt, which leads to pollution. We see it in Saul, King Saul in 1 Samuel chapter 28. Saul was gathered at Gilboa, and the Philistines were assembled, and they came up and they set up camp. And when Saul saw the Philistine army, he was afraid, and terror filled his heart. You think Saul had a little doubt? How's this thing going to turn out? He inquired of the Lord, but the Lord did not answer him by dreams or Urim or prophets. Uh-oh. What now? Well, you may know the story. So then Saul said to his attendants, "Find me a woman who is a medium so I may go and inquire of her." And all of a sudden, Saul, because of the doubt and the uncertainty, trips down into pollution. All Saul needed was God. But let me find the witch of Endor. Maybe she can give me some insight here. Maybe she can clarify things for me. And so go back to the slide. This is the stumble down the mountain. Ambiguity leads to doubt. Doubt leads to pollution. And pollution leads to toxic fruit. When we pollute the clear, pure will of God with other philosophies, traditions, systems, we begin to produce in our lives a toxic fruit. In fact, that's the problem in the church that Paul is writing to. They're beginning to turn to other philosophies, or at least there are teachers who are coming around who are introducing new ideas. They're adding to Christ. And Paul is telling the church, don't go that way. Explicitly, this is stated in Colossians 2:8, if you'd like to mark up your Bible or take notes. Paul warns the church, he says, "See to it that no one takes you captive through hollow and deceptive philosophies, which depend on human tradition and the elemental spiritual forces of this world, rather than on Christ." Don't leave Christ. Any philosophy, any tradition, any system that leaves Christ is powerless, is incomplete, and will produce in you a toxic fruit. Now, my family, we love fruit. I don't know about your family, but we love fruit. And we love to eat good fruit. Grapes, watermelon. Oh, watermelon right now. I mean, we were getting $3.50 watermelons. You know, we go through two of those a week. Blueberries, apples, those little mandarin oranges, bananas. Oh, we love fruit. You know, I don't know if mushrooms are a fruit, but we like mushrooms too. Kind of discovered mushrooms. And, you know, there's nothing that feeds like fruit. And the fruit of the Spirit feeds like nothing else in all the world. The fruit the Spirit of God gives is what the world needs. But, you know, we like these mushrooms. And I don't know if you like mushrooms, but we've been putting them with olive oil and, you know, Erica does it. I don't know how she does it, but it's really good. And so I got some mushrooms for you, a picture of some mushrooms here. These are mushrooms. I don't know if these are edible or not. They may be, I don't know what kind they are. Some of you may be mushroom connoisseurs. I don't know, but I don't know. Would you eat these mushrooms? These mushrooms actually grew in a very special place on the earth. These are pictures of mushrooms that have grown in the shadow of the Chernobyl nuclear reactor. Would you eat these mushrooms? The Geiger counter or whatever that thing is that measures nuclear stuff. Radiation. Thank you, sir. Measuring mushrooms around Chernobyl 8 times the healthy levels of radiation. Apparently, though, there are people that live in the shadows of Chernobyl. They eat the stuff they grow there. I don't know. I was reading about this week online. Now, these people are crazy. It's maybe toxic fruit. I don't know. But here's the thing. When we introduce other philosophies and traditions, the fruit that is produced in our lives is toxic. It's hostile. It's not the fruit that God intends and desires and wants to produce in our lives. And that really is the whole point of being, of Paul's prayer. It's not that he wants the church to be filled with the knowledge of God, of the will of God, just so the church can have more knowledge. His prayer is that you, that the church will be filled with the knowledge of the will of God so that something will happen. So that our lives will produce, as he says it in his prayer, lives worthy of the kingdom of the Son he loves, lives that would bring about an abundant fruit, lives that would grow in the knowledge and maturity of God, lives that would be characterized by power of endurance and patience. And don't we all need patience? Lives that would be characterized by words of thanksgiving to God. It's not just that we want you to be smart people filled with a bunch of knowledge, but that it is the clear and unpolluted knowledge of the will of God that produces the kind of fruit God wants to produce in our lives. And so when we're raising the banner and we're saying, look, you know, if you've grown just kind of a little ambiguous in your life, I don't know what I want, or maybe just a little apathetic, you know, yeah, whatever, whatever. What we're saying is, come with us and journey with us through Colossians through the next, over the next few weeks as we pray to be filled with the knowledge of the will of God clear and unpolluted. Join us in this prayer that our lives would be changed, that our lives would be lives that would produce fruit, that would honor God, that would bless the world. Let us join Jesus who prayed this prayer in the garden. Your will be done. Let us join Jesus who taught his disciples to pray this way. Your kingdom come, your will be done. Let us join Epaphras who just wrestles in prayer that the church would be filled and stand firm in the knowledge of the will of God. And let us join Paul who prays for the church years ago, but whose prayer echoes through the centuries to us today that we would be a church filled with the knowledge of the will of God so that we might produce in our lives the fruits of righteousness and live lives worthy of the kingdom of the Son he loves. That's something God wants. There's really no ambiguity about it. God wants us to leave the kingdoms of darkness and come into the kingdom of the Son he loves. It is God's desire that we would know him, that we would come to a full knowledge of his will, and our lives and every relationship in our life would change. Some of you know one of my favorite people to read through is Corrie Ten Boom. And she's a Christian woman who I just find her writings full of faith and truth, and they're an encouragement. But she lived, you know, as you, many of you know, during World War II in Europe. She spent time in a concentration camp. She survived. And through all the ambiguities in places in the world and situations that are filled with all kinds of ambiguities, none of them probably compare to the what to do when there is war. And she lived it. What is God's will in all of that, in all of this? What is a person to do when there are gross things happening all around you? And she says something that I thought was just fitting, and I'm going to leave you with these words. She says, There are no ifs in God's world, and no places that are safer than other places. So in other words, wherever you choose to eat today, there's not one of those places that's safer than the other place. But she goes on to say, the center of His, it's God's will, is our only safety. That wherever we might be, the only safety we have is at the center of God's will. Let us pray that we may always know it. And that is our prayer, that we may always be filled with the perfect, pure, and unpolluted knowledge of the will of God. So as we leave today, we're just going to lift up the honor of God in Christ. Whatever other thoughts you have today, I invite you to just let those drop away. Whatever other rules or orders or things you think are important, we lift up Christ and Christ alone. Whatever frustrations, whatever angers, whatever rubs, I invite you to let those drop away. And let us lift up only Christ. It is in Him that we can truly sing the song with absolute confidence. It is well with our souls. Only there is it truly and ever well. That's a song we're going to sing as we close out this morning. Randy will come lead us in a moment. If you have any response this morning, desire for prayer, encouragement in the faith, our elders will receive you in the prayer room as you leave. Let's all stand now as we sing.